hope. I hope I get that new job. I hope I get a raise. I hope it does rain. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope, I hope, I hope. It's a common word. People use it every day. But what does it mean? And is it an important aspect of living a godly way of life? Is it something that we really need to know about? Hope is often thought of as expressing a wish or a strong desire. It means that a person is anticipating that something good will happen. And it certainly is not just wishful thinking. The Greek, the New Testament of the Bible, the word that is used for hope is elpo, E-L-P-O, and it means to look forward to with pleasurable confidence and expectation. So it's looking forward for something. The Hebrew, the Old Testament for hope is tikva. And this one I think is really interesting. The Greek is interesting and it gives us kind of a, here's the definition, here's the meaning, this is how it's used. But I think it's really interesting when you think about the Hebrew because the word tikva, the root meaning pictures, get this, a cord attached to the thing that is hoped for. Just get a mental picture of that. You're hoping for something, have a line attached to it, and you're holding on to that. And it paints a different kind of picture, doesn't it? That's what you're wanting. That's what you're going after. I also think it's very interesting the state of Israel has adopted HaTikva, I mean the hope, as their national anthem. It comes from a poem that was written in the 1880s that indicated the people's hope, their desire, their wanting Israel to have their own homeland. And so from that poem, they established this and they took this as their national anthem. Hope, or the hope. Hope. The Bible has a lot to say about this important topic. So today, I'd like for us to take a look at some that the Bible has to say about it, some of the biblical passages, and let's see if we can learn even more about this topic of hope. There are well over 100 references to hope in the King James Version of the Bible. If you use different translations, there's different amounts because the word hope is not used in some translations. Other words are. But just simply using the King James Bible, there's well over 100 different references for the subject or the topic of hope. Genuine hope or real hope is a positive assertion based upon statements from the words of God regarding His promises. Have you ever thought about that biblical hope is based upon the promises of God? Well, that's what it comes from. Yes, it is a very strongly connected with the word faith also. But we need to understand hope and faith are not identical. Hope is conviction founded upon the promises of God. The book of Hebrews makes a clear distinction. Go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We hope, and then God gives us the substance of that for which we hope. God calls the substance of hope faith. They are not the same. Now, that's a broader topic in itself, and I'm not really going any further in that, other than this faith is a solid confirmation that provides evidence that God is a keeper of His word. He has done it. There's the substance for it. And our substance of hope is faith. God is who and what He says He is. And God will do what He says that He's going to do. Our hope becomes a certainty because of the faith that God gives. And yes, knowing that it is based upon, that hope is based upon the promises of God, we certainly should understand that there are many, many wonderful promises that cause us to hope. Let's just take a look at a few of them. This is just a few. This is all this is. It's just a very few of those promises of God that cause us to hope. One might be that God has promised salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can see these promises in many, many, many different scriptures. I'm not going to go to any place. You can look up that topic. You can see that. But that is something that we base our hope. We have our hope based upon the promise of God. Another one is God promises the Holy Spirit will be an indwelling presence for true believers. The Bible shows us that. Many different scriptures there. Another one is God promises peace that passes all understanding. We hope for that. It's how we would use the word. And sometimes just simply not really understanding that there's a difference or what the difference is between faith and hope. Sometimes we might even use, to put it in a technical sense, the incorrect word. The right word would be God promises peace without understanding. I mean, we cannot even understand it. It is so awesome. It is so great. That's hope. But see, we think the word hope, so many times we think the word hope is this word over here that, well, I just hope for it. It's probably not going to happen. That's not hope. That's wishful thinking. Hope is based upon assurances that God has given us. Hope is based upon the promises that God has given to us. We look in the Bible. We typically, in our human English language, misuse the biblical word that's hope. We use something else and call it hope when reality is not hope at all from a biblical perspective. It's much more positive. It's much more knowing. We know that God has kept His promises in the past. Therefore, we can also know that He is going to keep His promises again in the future. And the knowing that He is going to keep those promises in the future, that's hope. That's positive. That's not wishful thinking. It's based upon what God has done, we know He's going to do. Hope helps us look to the future in a positive way. People speak about hope for tomorrow. We don't speak about hope for yesterday or the past. That's already done. That's already passed. We do hope, we connect hope with future. Any kind of hope that is not based on God's promises is quite often just a dead hope. Or it's not what I would call even hope at all. It's something else. It has to be hope from a biblical perspective is based upon the promises of God. Do we believe the promises of God? If we believe, or as we believe, the promises of God, then our hope is strengthen. See, what has really done as true believers, or even as people who casually look at religion, who would use the word hope, it's a disservice even to use this word outside of the promises of God. So in our everyday language, I think it might even be something, might be an okay thing that we would consider even getting the word out of our common language, other than when we're talking about things of God. Like, I hope that it rains. That's not hope. That's not hope. That's something else. God has not promised that it's going to rain here today. I hope it snows here this afternoon. No, I don't hope that. I don't wish that. I don't want that. I'm not praying for snow anytime here. But, you know, for someone to make that statement, what we need to understand is, again, that any kind of hope that is not based upon God's promises is not really hope, and it's a dead hope at best. People hope, their term, hope for many things that have no chance of happening. And that's not hope. I hope it snows here this afternoon. That's not hope. But we use that word in that context so often in our everyday language. That's not hope. That's something else. And I use the word, and I hope that you understand that there is this difference. And that's not based upon the promises of God. I'm just using it as we use it in an everyday language. The hope that God wants us to have is a living hope based upon the certainty of God's word. The more we understand of the promises of God, the more we understand what the Bible says, the clearer that our hope becomes. We have this in the Hebrew, remember the word, tikvah, and we have this line or this cord attached to what it is that we're wanting, that we're hoping for. There's a line attached to it. It's like there is a certainty connected. That's what that pictures. That's what it pictures. In Hebrews chapter 6, hope is referred to as an anchor of the soul, steadfast and sure. Now, I hope I get a raise. That's not based upon this, is it? Go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, and we'll read that. Hebrews 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. We know it. We know it. We're anchored to, picture the line attached again, the cord attached to what it is that we're hoping for. We know. This is a surety. This is what this is showing us. This is what this verse 19 is showing us. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul. It's tied to us. If you use it in that sense, see it in that sense. We're tied to, we're connected to what it is that we're hoping. And what is the hope based upon? Promises of God. The promises of God. In the biblical sense, hope is not hope in the human spirit. It is not in human goodness. Or is it in human achievement? Hope on the human level may look, I'll use the phrase again, a lot like simply wishful thinking. And too many times, that's what we use the word as, and that's really what it is. Because we haven't based upon the promises of God. There are times that uninformed, wishful thinking can have serious consequences. And we need to be aware of that. Because we base things upon wishful thinking. And that's not reality. That's not good. Serious consequences could result as a result. It has been stated that the only things worse than insanity are despair and hopelessness. But we thank God that we serve a God of hope. You see, God also hopes. His future, us included in it, is also based upon a cord on something that is going to happen. Yes, it's His word of promise, and it's going to happen because He knows it's going to happen, but that's called hope from the biblical perspective. That's what this word would mean. And God, therefore, is a God of hope. The word hopeless is a word that often appears in suicide notes, according to psychologists and police reports. Hopelessness is dangerous. If there's a time when you just feel just really hopeless, or there's just like hopelessness totally in your life, we probably need to talk. You need to talk with somebody. Some may think things like, "All this sounds like a cruel joke. I just want a ray of hope, just a single evidence of answered prayer, just one little simple sign of change." I'm not getting philosophical here, or I'm not getting psychological here, but that's a cry for help. And the word hope or hopeless or hopelessness is attached to this kind of thinking very, very often. The book of Proverbs tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it does. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. And let's read this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And so that's true. People often believe in or hope in vain things. And when those things do not materialize, perhaps after they have hoped over and over and over for it, people then allow a spirit of hopelessness to materialize instead. People become hopeless. Why? Why? Just based upon what we've seen to this point in the sermon, you can come up with the answer. If you just analyze and you just think about it, it is simply because they have not chosen to hope in the right thing. That's about as simple that I know to get it. They have chosen to put their hope in the wrong thing or in not the right thing. Their hope is misplaced. The person who experiences hope in the right thing will not be permanently overwhelmed or lost by people or circumstances. Remember, I just said the word permanently, because can we all go through this, you know, for a moment or for a brief period of time? Probably. Why? We're human. We've put our hope in the wrong thing, or it has not happened yet, and so our heart becomes sick. But then whenever we have based it on true things, so we need to then focus our attention on true things. And what are the true things in the context of what we're talking about? The Word of God. The Word of God. When a believer has his hope correctly placed, there will be no heart sickness. God is never going to fail us. God is never going to fail in the fulfillment of His promises. And that's what hope is based upon. The promises of God. A true believer has all his expectations in the Lord. And he doesn't really care. He doesn't really care what man says or what man does. we have to notice what people say, but that's not where our focus is on. It's not, we don't really care in that sense about what man says or what man does. The true believer does not care what the current circumstances are really even like, because we have our lifeline, this cord of our hope, is attached to something that we truly believe in, and that is what? The promises of God. The promises of God. When the true believer has his eyes on God only, there is always hope that will not fail. Why? Because God never fails. That's what we place our hope on, the knowing who and what is God, and that God is never going to fail. God is never going to put a promise out there and then later go, I fooled you. I was only kidding. God doesn't do that. God is never going to do that. So what do we hope in? If we've seen this, then what do we hope on? Just exactly what is it that we are to hope for or to hope in? Well, let me just give you just a few things. Not many, because there's a whole lot more than what I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to base it on verses out of the Bible, things for which we are to hope in. Number one. I'm not telling anyone to give you all the numbers, but number one, the first thing is we place our hope is in God Himself. If we don't have that one, none of the others make any difference. We place our hope in God Himself. And I'm going to read. We're going to read several verses on this one to get the point that the Bible has this over and over and over. And I'm not reading all the passages that have this kind of statement. We're going to read several, but not even all of them. Let's go to the book of Psalm 39 and verse 7. Psalm 39 and verse 7. And now, Lord, what shall I wait for? My hope is in you. So what does it just say, using the Hebrew, tikvah, and what its meaning is in its root, the picture of it, what is it showing the picture? Our lifeline is connected to God. If our lifeline is not connected to God, where are we? We're someplace else. Get that as a picture. See the lifeline, the cord that is attached to what it is we hope for or we hope in. God Himself is first and foremost in our mind, should be, has to be, that we have our lifeline attached to. It has to be attached to God, first and foremost. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you feeling hopeless? If you could put that phrase in it, that's not what it says, but that could be what it's meaning. And I'm not saying the Hebrew words mean that. Don't come back and say, well, that's not, I looked it up, Hebrew didn't say that. No. I'm talking about that's what the principle could be. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope you in God. Put your hope in God. Attach your line, your lifeline to God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. 42 and verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? It's repeating the same phrase. And what is his answer? Hope you in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43 and verse 5. I told you we're going to read several. 43 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Begin to get the picture, don't we? And this is only three references. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You think, you know, when God says something in the Bible, it's important. When He says it twice, we get, yeah, this is really important. When He says it three times in a matter of a few verses, the level of importance just did what? It went way up. Psalm 71 in verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Psalm 78 in verse 7. 78 verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What is hope based upon? That God is God. That his promises are real. Psalm 130 in verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Psalm 131 in verse 3. 131 verse 3. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. And I have one more unto this point. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So obviously the first thing that we place our hope for, our hope in, is what? It's God. God himself. A second one is we place our hope in God's word and in God's judgments. I can show you that in a few verses here. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 43. Verse 43. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. The word of God utterly out of my mouth would mean the words of this book. That's what it'd be referring to. That's why we have the words of God are found in this book. Don't take them out of my mouth. For I have hoped in your judgments. We base what's going to happen upon what this book says. If we do X, this is going to happen. If we do this thing, then this is going to happen. Why? Because we're brilliant people? No, because we can read and we believe God is God. That's hope. That's a knowing. We put our trust, we put hope, we tie a lifeline to the Word of God and to the judgments that God makes out of His Bible. Verse 49, 119 and verse 49. Remember the word unto your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. The hope refers back to the Word of God. Now you begin to see why we harp and we rant and we rave on Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. What are we putting our hope in? What are we putting it in if we don't really know what it says? You get the point that I'm making. I know you do. I know you do. Verse 74, Psalm 119, we're still there. Verse 74, they that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in your word. So the first thing where we place our hope and we hope for is God himself. Second one is his word and is his judgments that are found in his word. Now I could put this third one I'm going to show you, and I'm only doing three things of putting our hope in right now. And the third one could be connected with the second one, I understand, but I want to separate because of this one verse that we're going to read kind of separates it. And number three would be our hope is placed in his word for salvation. That's the why we do it. We know the end result, the promises of God. The end result is salvation. That's a big topic, but it puts it all down in that one word. Psalm 119 in verse 81. Verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. That's why I said it could have been connected, but I wanted to separate it that our hope of salvation is through the Word of God, is how we see it. That's a lifeline. That's this cord that is attached to what we want. And in this point, what is it that we're looking for that we want? Salvation. We see it through His Bible, through the Word. Through the Bible, we understand and we can see salvation. Again, another big topic. I'm not going there any more than that, but it's there, and I think we can see it. So a question. Does God expect us to have hope? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It is the will of God that His people will have hope. God has gone to a lot of trouble of preparation so that we can have hope. Knowing what His Word is, knowing that His Word is sure, knowing that His promises are certain because He backed it up, and we hope for it. And that's positive. And we have this lifeline connected to it. Go with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. Now I'm going to read this out of the New International Version. I think it's a little clearer, but this is from the New International Version. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. It's a little different. It's a little different than the King James. This one is accurate. I'm not saying that King James isn't accurate. It's just a choice of different words. But this is beautiful, I think. All of these things were written down for the ends of the earth who, you know, things have written. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is what we see. It says, of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So what happens is, as a result of this, hope will come alive in our hearts as we study, as we memorize, and as we speak of the Word of God over and over and over. We have to have, verse says, have the Word of God ready upon our lips. Because that's what we base our life on. It's the Word of God, the promises that are there. We have our life is connected to this. We need to do it for every situation in our lives. To have this Word of God ready for us. I mean, after all, that is what we have our hope connected to. The promises of God found in this book. Hope has connections with other wonderful characteristics as well, such as strength and courage. Strength and courage. Psalm 31 in verse 24, Psalm 31 in verse 24, this is an alternate translation also, but it says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you that wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. I think it's a little clearer that way. Verse 24, Psalm 30, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. It's just another way of stating it. Well, I think probably with most of us by now, we should be convinced that we all need hope. So how do we get it? First and foremost, no surprise here when you hear the point. Hope comes from God. He gives it to us. Psalm 22 and verse 9. But you are He that took me out of the womb. You did make me hope when I was up on my mother's breast. God, You did it. You're the one who gave me hope. You're the one that gave me what it is I should be hoping for. So first and foremost, we need to understand that hope comes from God. Thank You, God. What an awesome God that we serve. There also are several special promises for those who hope in God. Who actually, he gives it to them, and then they actually do it. Then they actually do have hope in God. Those who do that, there are special promises. Let me show you these. One is, God watches over us. And I say us. I'm making it positive. That's us. God watches over those true believers who really do hope in God. Go with me to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Psalm 33 and verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Do you ever been in a situation and you know that you need mercy and you know obviously you got to have mercy from God? And so we go to God, and how do we approach God about it? Typically what most people tend to do is we start begging. And that's not what this verse says. We have hope connected to God's mercy. Why? Because it's one of the promises of God. God's going to do it. God is going to give us mercy. How do I know that? Because we're all here. We're still breathing. But we don't tend to think about it in that way. So we go to God and we start begging. Oh God, would you please, 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 please. No, that's not hope. It's knowing. Because we know what the Bible says. We know what his promises are. They are there. They are renewed every morning. And we know that. And so we hope in that. Our lifeline, our cord is connected to the mercy that God has already said he's going to give for those who hope in him and in his word. But I don't think that's how we most of the time think about hope. A second one is, number one is, God watches over them. And the second one is, God shows them mercy. God shows them mercy who really do have their hope in God. He does show them mercy. In Psalm 33 and verse 22, it's in the same chapter. Let your mercy, O God, be upon me according as we hope in you. How much do we hope in him? His mercy is connected with it. It's a special promise. Remember I said there are these special promises that God gives to those who do hope in him. A third one is, God hears them. He hears us. Psalm 38 in verse 15. For in you, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. Do you know that God hears you? If we have hope in God, then we know God hears us. If you ever get to the place and we start going, oh, I don't think God is listening. I don't think God is really hearing me. What you have just said is what I have just said is, my hope is not in God right now. My hope is in probably me, which is a dangerous place to put it. So we need to go back and get our thinking straight with who is God? Who and what is God? What has he said? What has he promised? He has promised that he will hear them who hope in him. That's what it says. Am I misreading this? That's what it says. For in you, O Lord, do I hope. You will hear, O Lord, My God, I know you're going to heal. I have hope in that. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. It's one of those promises. And another one, a fourth special promise that God gives to those who hope in God. And there's more than four. Like I said, I'm barely touching the surface on this topic today. But number four is God takes pleasure in us. He takes pleasure in those who hope in Him. In Psalm 147 in verse 11. 147 in verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. Remember we saw earlier? He gives mercy. And we know it. We know it. And this fear is not dread or terror, as we understand the word when he's using the phrase fear of God or fear of the Lord, that fear Him, to stand in awe and respect of who and what He is, and all that that entails. And I gave a series of sermons on that and kept only just hitting the surface in about four or five different sermons, just on that one topic. That fear the Lord. The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. We claim it. In other words, we attach our line, our cord to that knowing that God is going to give mercy to those who have hope in Him. So let's take a look quickly here at what to do while we wait and hope for God. What do we do? Psalm 71 in verse 14. Psalm 71 in verse 14. But I will hope continually. Oh, okay. And will yet praise you more and more. There you go. We're going to have this hope. Our lifeline, our cord, is going to be connected to God continuously. We're not going to cut the line because it got too tangled or because it got too heavy and we really couldn't pull it in or whatever terms we would use. We're not doing that. Continuously connected to God and to His promises, to His Word, to all of those things that we see. We're not going to be disconnected from God and will praise Him. While we are waiting, while we are hoping for God to fulfill, to do all of these things that are yet future, but He's going to do them, how do we know? Because God said so. And so we have our hope, and as we're waiting, we're continuously connected with Him, and we will praise Him more and more. And I think that's a word that we as part of the Church of God have been afraid of in times past. What did we just say? Our hope wasn't in God. We're not really waiting. First John, let's go to the New Testament. 1 John 3 and verse 3. What do we do while we wait and hope for God? And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So one thing is as our lifeline is connected to God, we praise God more and more. And another thing is we purify ourselves. Now that's another topic also. But that's what it says. He purifies himself even as he is pure. As he is referring to Jesus Christ in particular, but obviously that would refer to the Father as well. And then I have a third verse, a third passage here. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify, the word sanctify means set apart, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Oh, I don't want anybody to ask me what I believe in because I'm not ready to give an answer. You don't have hope in God. That's real blunt, you know. Maybe it's too hard of a statement in some situations. I understand. Sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. It means He's here. You place Him within. He is here. We don't keep God out there and we're here. No, God is in. And be ready always. And be ready once in a while. Somebody says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you. And give this answer. Be ready to give this answer with meekness and fear. Fear of who and what is God. Because that's what it's connected to. It's God. If we really know who and what is God, I'm not saying that we're going to have to know every intricate detail. Somebody who's been in a... you know, has been studying the Word of God for 50 years or whatever, should, not meaning that it's true, but should know a lot more about God than someone who's been studying about God for 2 years. Right? I mean, you know, I think you get the point of what I'm saying. But it's what we know. It's based upon what we do know. And we're always studying. We're there. We're memorizing. We're committing to memory. We're doing all those things, the Word of God, claiming these things. We're ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason. Why do you believe what you believe? It's connected to hope. That's what it's connected to. That asks you a reason. Why do you have your hope based upon what you believe? That's not what they ask. They say, why do you believe that? But that's what the Scripture is saying. It's based upon hope. Brethren, please understand, God Himself lives in hope. What He is doing, He is going to do in hope. Romans 8. And we could read a whole lot of verses in this section of Romans 8. But I want to zero in on one verse. Verse 20. Romans 8 and verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Who subjected it? The same in hope. God. God lives in hope. He does what He does, and He's doing what He's going to do in hope. It is the will of God that we hope. God very plainly in His Word tells us to do it. And to do it, we need to know more about what it is. We need to know more. We need to dig in on our own and study more about what hope is. Really more. Like I said, this is introduction. This is like 101. God describes charity. All too often we translate and we say love, and it says charity. And charity and love in a technical sense really are not the same anyway. But it's interesting to think about that. But He describes charity as hoping all things. That's what it says. You ever thought about it like that? Let's go there. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. Then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13, what we call the love chapter. Let's go to Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. We do it in hope. Rejoicing in hope. Why? That's what God said. Because it's good. It's right. It's what he wants. Because that's what God does. God rejoices. We are to rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So let's go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And we could read all these characteristics about love. Love does this, or charity does this, and charity does that, and does this other thing. Well, let's go to verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What do we base this hope on that's connected to charity and or love? What is it based on? That God is love. We base this hope, we tie this line to the fact, the knowing that God is love. Brethren, let's think about this and let's realize that the essence of God's hope within true believers is at stark contrast to the lack of such hope that is found in the world. There is this tremendous contrast, difference between the two. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. So we know when this is talking about. Before we were true believers, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, he is speaking to Gentiles, and I understand that. But, you know, if we were not at a point in time in the past, if we were not true believers, we were just like Gentiles in the sense we were alienated from God and from the commonwealth of Israel who God was dealing with. And so this could be whether we're Jew or Gentile. It didn't make any difference until that point in time when God really reached us and we were converted and our life is being converted continuously. Until that point, this is describing us. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Until we came to the place that we really understood God, the eternal, the ever-living one, he is God, and he has made these incredible promises that we know that he's going to carry out, and we have based our hope, our lifeline, connected with that. Until that point happened, we were without hope. We had nothing to attach our lifelines to. There's no hope. Those who do not know the truth of God. A lot of reasons why people don't know the truth of God. Doesn't make them bad people in the fact, well, they don't know the truth, therefore they're bad people. No, it's not what I'm implying at all. What I am implying is we do. We have something to connect our hope to. We have something for which we can take this cord, this, I call it, lifeline, and connect it to. And that something that we can connect it to is God. And they don't have that. First Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now they're dead as we, because we put them in the ground, we throw dirt on their face. They're dead in our terminology. But this is talking about asleep, because God doesn't say it is sleep, because they're going to be awakened. There's going to be the resurrection. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. People without the truth of God, they have no hope. They have nothing to tie it to. They have nothing. And so they tie it to all kinds of things. There are people who tie it to trees and grass and cows and all kinds of things because they don't have anything in their thinking that they can connect their life to. Because they're without God in the world. And they're reaching out to do something. They just don't have truth to connect it to. And God says they have no hope. Our hope, listen to me clearly, waits for us in heaven. And I'm using that word with intent. I drew attention to it. Our hope waits for us in heaven. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, will return. He is our hope. He will return, and He will return soon. And He will grant us salvation in glory. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Colossians 1 and verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, that's where I get the phrase from, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We heard it here. It's in this book. It's in this book. What we have our hope connected to, it's found in this book. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of this gospel. Drop down to verse 27. We could read all the verses in between, but read verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, here's the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it's connected to. It's connected to Jesus Christ. I'm going to end this sermon with what I would consider, and I offer it to you, as a blessing for all of us. This is my hope for all of us. Let me just read this to you. It's a verse. It's in Romans chapter 15 in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask God to bless each one of us with that. We will read the Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you, and God bless you greatly with hope.